Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome you tonight to the Thursday, August 6th edition of the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea, Ministry of Hand to Help Ministries.
All right, I guess that's my cue. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. No music today. Gino is out of town. I am in studio. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And as always, we've got a lot to cover, a lot to discuss. There's a lot on our plate. But first of all, my apologies for last week. I was stuck in traffic because apparently everyone was going somewhere last Thursday or coming back from somewhere, as it were. I don't know. But it was just hellish. They're doing construction on this portion of highway between Milwaukee and Chicago, and it turns into a two-lane. And it just backs up like you wouldn't believe, and I thought I gave myself enough time. Ended up spending almost 4 hours in traffic, so yay, happy days. But we are here today. We are live. And last week, I really was itching to come on with you and cover some stuff because the world is growing madder still. And it has happened as I feared. 1 week has passed and a whole new slew of things has surfaced. A whole new slew of things has arisen, as it were. But I still want to go back to what I wanted to discuss last week because it ties into what we discussed the week before, namely, the problems and the issues within the Catholic Church. It has gotten worse. I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. And I think that other states are beginning to open their eyes to the reality that there are some very evil men who use the cover of the priesthood as a convenient camouflage to do unspeakable things to innocents. The last program that we were live, we discussed the issues they're having in Pennsylvania, the fact that over 1,000 children were raped or molested by a cabal of priests that seem to have been in cahoots with each other, for lack of a better term, and the fact that Il Papa, the man himself, the lover of humanity and he who kisses the dirty feet of homeless people, didn't seem overly concerned with the alleged rape of 1,000 children. And to make matters worse, the Cardinal of Chicago, a gentle chap by the name of Blaise Cupi, or Cupish. I don't know how you say his name, but it was just gut-wrenching. It was vomit-inducing. Because he came out with a statement defending the Pope's silence, defending the silence of the Vatican. And at first glance, if you didn't know any better, if you didn't realize this was an actual news story, you'd think that the folks at the Babylon Bee had put out another zinger, as it were. But no, this is not the Babylon Bee. This is not a fake news site. Because last week, Chicago's Cardinal Blaise Cupiche actually said this. He said the Pope has a bigger agenda than responding to charges by Archbishop Maria Vigano that he knew about incidents of sexual abuse. He's got to get on with other things, Cardinal Kupich said, of talking about the environment and protecting migrants and carrying on the work of the church. We're not going to go down a rabbit hole on this. These were the actual words of the Cardinal of Chicago, one Blaise Kupich. And again, if it were not documented, if it were not proven to be his words, you might actually think that the Babylon Bee had a hand in it. Because in essence, this is what this man is saying. 1,000 rape children, pish tosh. The Pope's got bigger fish to fry. Like climate change and the migrant crisis. So, priests, rape on. Molest on. 1,000? Ha! The whole world to worry about. Look at the heat. Look at the heat. We've got global warming to be concerned with. What do you mean, molested children? 1,000 in one given archdiocese. That's peanuts compared to the migrant crisis. That is peanuts compared to climate change. So yes, these words actually came out of this man's mouth. That the Pope has a bigger agenda than 1,000 molested children by his own priests. Because he's got to get on with other things, you know, like the environment and protecting migrants and carrying on the work of the church. This is like the Pat Robertson of Catholicism, only with a meaner, more sadistic streak. Because all Pat Robertson did was, tell a guy whose wife had Alzheimer's that he could leave her and marry somebody else, you know. Because when it going gets tough, the tough file for divorce and abandon their Alzheimer's-ridden mate. Because, hey, you deserve to be happy. Joel Osteen said so. So, an archbishop, a cardinal, not even a cardinal, actually said these words. Now, the rabbit hole he is referring to is the decades-long molestation of not 1,000, but now it turns out thousands of children. And not just that, but also the church's role in enabling it and covering up these crimes. These are crimes. These are crimes punishable by law. These are crimes punishable by God. Let's not split hairs here. These men are criminals. I don't care if you wear a nice black habit. I don't care if you wear that little white thingy around your neck. You deserve to be in prison. And every single prisoner needs to know what you're in prison for, because you know what? The law of the jungle is a cruel, cruel mistress. And once they found out that you're in prison for molesting children, let's just say you'll get to know what molestation feels like firsthand, repeatedly, often, brutally. And you deserve every single time. See, even men accused of murder, people who commit heinous crimes, have this natural disgust towards men who molest children. Even within a cold and ruthless place like a prison, there is an innate set of laws. And if you happen to be in there for touching children, for molesting children, for abusing children, then they will dole out justice prison style. And if you're too innocent to know what I mean. God bless you. Stay innocent. But these men deserve to be in prison. They deserve to have done to them what they did to over 1,000 children. Oh, but that's so cold and heartless. No, it's an eye for an eye. No, there is no defense. I'm sorry. I don't care how many dirty feet you kiss. I don't care how many waking nights you dissect the migrant crisis. I don't care how many days you stare at the sun until you go blind and wonder what of climate change. If you are actively protecting child molesters, if you are actively covering up crimes for criminals because you don't want your already tarnished reputation to be tarnished a wee bit more, if you are actively allowing predators to continue to prey on innocence because you're too busy with climate change, then you deserve to be in prison too as an accessory. This is not about religion. This is not about Catholicism. This is just normal. We're not throwing religion into the mix here. We're talking about criminals who brutalize children and a powerful entity who goes out of its way to cover up the crimes of these criminals. Yes, I do believe that the Catholic Church needs to be sued. Yes, I do believe that the Catholic Church needs to be brought up on criminal charges. The Pope needs to sit in a witness chair and testify as to whether or not he's been covering up child molesters. And I know that as of yet, they're just allegations. The fact that the Pope knew that the former Washington Cardinal Theodore McCarrick just preyed on seminarians and he'd been admonished by his predecessor. But I think there's enough allegations coming from enough places where it's hard to make the argument that the Pope knew nothing of it. This has nothing to do with hatred for this Pope because he's a libertine. This has nothing to do with hatred for this Pope because he believes that global warming is the greatest danger to mankind, even though Turkey said there will be inevitably so a war to the death between the crescent and the cross. This has everything to do with this Pope actively covering up and protecting child molesters and allowing for this atrocity to go on, to continue to be perpetuated. What, yesterday two priests were arrested in Florida for performing unsavory acts on each other in a car. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But if this is so rampant in the Catholic Church, mayhaps they should revisit that whole policy about priests being able to marry. Just a thought. Because between a married priest with a wife and some kids and a priest who abuses children and molests them, I'll take the one with the wife and kids. With all its foibles and flaws, at least the Orthodox Church got this one right. They allow their priests to marry. And they have wives and they have families. And there is no molestation cloud over the Orthodox Church. This priest took the cake. how can you try to brush under the rug the molestation of thousands of children? Now, the reason I bring this up, even though I wanted to talk about it last week and I wasn't here, is that this isn't over. This has just begun. Breaking story as of today, the New York Attorney General, Barbara Dale Underwood, has subpoenaed all New York Roman Catholic dioceses as part of a statewide investigation into sex crimes committed by the church, according to reports. So the thousands of children that we were talking about 2 weeks ago was only in Philadelphia, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Extrapolate that by 50. This isn't nearly over. And by the time it is, I'm thinking this Pope's going to resign. Because if it comes back on his doorstep, if it is shown beyond reasonable doubt that he covered these things up, who's going to come take sacrament from you, you filthy old fool? So the article says this, a law enforcement source familiar with the investigation but not authorized to speak publicly said that the subpoenas were issued Thursday. The subpoenas reportedly seek documents relating to sex abuse allegations, financial payments to possible victims, or the findings from internal church investigations. Underwood's office is pursuing a civil investigation into how church leaders responded to reports of abuse. They didn't respond with reporting the abuse to the police. Then they too should be held accountable. The Attorney General's office has not issued a statement on the matter. In addition, New Jersey Attorney General Gerber Gruwall announced Thursday that his office will form a task force to investigate allegations of sexual abuse by members of the clergy within the Catholic Diocese of New Jersey. So you've got New York and you've got New Jersey and the whole thing unraveling in Pennsylvania thus far. And this Attorney General of New Jersey said that he would be investigating allegations of sexual abuse by members of the clergy within the Catholic diocese, as well as any efforts to cover up such abuse. Look, I can't go so far as to say that the cover-up is as bad as the crime, because I've had to counsel victims of sexual abuse and molestation, and very few things destroy the light and the hope and the life in a man's heart or in an individual's heart as completely and as fundamentally as molestation and abuse by an authoritative figure. I mean, the only thing worse is when it's done by a parent. And I've had to counsel people that went through that too. And it's just horrendous. But a parent and a priest are very close on the trust spectrum for adolescents or for young people. You trust your mom, you trust your dad, and then, of course, you trust your priest. So it's and then the police, the firemen, etc. So a priest is very close on the trust spectrum to parents. And so when a priest or a person of the cloth, a clergyman, whatever you want to call them, breaks that trust, and not only breaks that trust, but actually goes on to molest a child, it fractures them oftentimes beyond repair, save for Christ. There are countless souls who have spiraled into addiction, who've not only contemplated but actually gone through with suicide because they couldn't shake what happened to them as adolescents. They couldn't shake what happened to them at the hands of men whom they were told by their own parents they should trust. Listen to Father Patrick. Listen to Father Timothy. All the while, these men took that trust and they abused it. And they destroyed lives. Even one life would have been atrocious. But we're talking about thousands of children who will never be innocent again, who had their innocence ripped from them. And so, yes, the cover-up should be investigated. And those that helped cover it up should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Like I said, I can't go that far and say the cover-up is as bad as the crime because it doesn't get any worse than this kind of crime. As far as the damage that it causes in the psyche of an adolescent, there's nothing that compares to molestation. I mean, if you want to talk physical damage, then murder, yes. But as far as psychological damage to the psyche of an adolescent, there is nothing that is more destructive and damaging than this. And I've counseled enough people to know that there's almost never full recovery from it. There's learning to put it behind you. There's surrendering it at the foot of the cross. There are things that one can do to approach normalcy, but they can never return to that innocence. That's what was robbed from them. That's what was taken without will or consent by men who purport to be of the cloth of God, doing the work of the Lord. So yes, if anyone is found guilty of covering such things up, by all means, throw the book at him. I don't care how many Catholic churches have to be shuttered. I don't care how far up the chain it has to go. We're talking about children. Innocent children. But there was another. I read it somewhere and I wanted to tag the article, but I apparently didn't. But there was actually a priest somewhere that was accusing the victims of egging the molesters on, of being too attractive, of flirting. I don't know what he was trying to say, but it was the creepiest thing that you could possibly read. Because there's only one guilty party here, and that is those men who chose to defile and destroy the innocence of children. Now, the New Jersey Attorney General continues and he says, I was deeply troubled to read the allegations contained in last month's Pennsylvania grand jury report. The report revealed that sexual assault on children and efforts to cover up such assaults were far more widespread in Pennsylvania than were ever thought possible. We owe it to the people of New Jersey to find out whether the same thing happened here. If it did, we will take action against those responsible. Now, reports of the subpoenas come as the church faces increase of its handling of rampant child sex abuse dating back decades. Decades. See, sometimes you read an article and you gloss over the most important aspect of it. Decades. Now, I'm sure all of you know what a decade is, but a decade is 10 years. So this abuse went on for not a month or 6 months until it was found out and stamped out, but for decades, for tens and tens of years. Over 1,000 children molested by over 300 Roman Catholic priests across 6 Pennsylvania dioceses. And that's just in Pennsylvania. I'm dreading the findings of New York and New Jersey, because I know it'll break my heart and make me angry in you. But it must be done. These things have to be brought to the light, not only in the Catholic Church, but wherever they are, they must be brought to the light. Because light is an amazing disinfectant. Now, the article continues here, and he says, in the wake of the scandal, Pope Francis, he who kisses the feet of the homeless, has been met with fierce criticism from inside and outside the church for response to the explosive allegations. In what many perceive to have been a tone-deaf message to parishes, the embattled Pope Monday recommended silence and prayer to counter those who only seek scandal. That is his response. Silence and prayer to those who seek to division and destruction in response to allegations. How about uncovering the cesspool and naming names and going to something that is mind-boggling to me, the secret archives of the Vatican, which detail the abuses and name the priests responsible for said abuses? They chronicled these things. And instead of dealing with the infection, instead of cutting off the rotted stump, paid off children's parents and bought their silence. While the children suffered and spiraled, because they didn't know how to deal with what had happened to them. Now, one of Pope Francis's leading critics said Thursday he was deeply shaken by accusations of a sex abuse cover-up against the pontiff and wants an investigation, as should we all, but is still pressing Francis to respond to an earlier set of questions about his views on marriage. Now, American Cardinal Raymond Burke denied Thursday he had any prior knowledge of the accusations penned by the former Vatican ambassador to the U.S. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. The two are like-minded conservatives and have shared the podium at traditionalist conferences before. Said he read Vigano's 11-page accusation that Francis was complicit in a nearly two-decade cover-up. Two-decade, 20-year cover-up of sexual misconduct allegations against ex-Cardinal Theodore McCarrick when it was published August 26th. He said he was deeply shaken by what he read and has called for an investigation. But he said, more importantly, Francis needs to respond to a set of questions that he and three other conservative cardinals posed over a year ago about Francis's opening to divorced and civilly remarried Catholics. Questions, he said, are at the heart of the Christian faith. So, this has no sign of ending. And it's only going to grow. And wait till they hit the Archdiocese of California. If you think 1,000 children in Pennsylvania is bad, wait till they start investigating out California way. I think New York and New Jersey are going to be mind-blowing. I think once they start peeling back this onion, it's going to be so grotesque as to make the mind boggle. Now, since we spoke last, John McCain has gone to the great beyond. You likely did not miss it because his funeral lasted 17 years, 14 days, and 12 hours. He's gone. So, I did not know the man. I just knew his policies and his vindictive nature. I know that we're all supposed to say nice things of the dead. The dead are dead. They can't hear us. So what's the point? John McCain finally lost his battle to brain cancer. And at the ripe old age of 80-something, he is gone. I don't know how long we're expected to live. But apparently, every death, even those at 105, are a surprise. Another thing that's been happening, and we're going to get to Russian nuclear bombers over Alaska, too. Because, that happened. My brother sent me this article, and he goes, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And I texted him back, "Not a good development, but we'll get into that a little later." I want to talk a little bit about this new Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. Look, in order for you to understand how necessary an individual is in a certain position, you need to weigh the level of opposition against them and how utterly bent the other side gets. Now, they didn't do this during Gorsuch's Senate confirmation hearing. Unless I wasn't around or unless I missed it, I don't think anybody was arrested during Gorsuch's confirmation. Bring in Kavanaugh, and it seems every howling hound of hell was unleashed. Upstanding citizens like one Linda Sarsour. If you don't know who that is, that is a pus-filled example of human waste. It just the nastiest of the nasty and the vile. And one thing that people seem not to understand is that members of Congress bring in individuals. That's the way they can come in and actually be spectators. And so the Democrats chose who to bring in, and it was just a cacophony of losers and just inane individuals, all yelling that They wanted to murder their babies in sanitary conditions and not in back alleys, because apparently that's their biggest fear. That's the reason they're losing their minds. That's the reason they're all apoplectic. They believe that Brett Kavanaugh is going to vote to reverse Roe versus Wade. You know what? I'm all for it. God bless if he does. But to be perfectly honest with you, if your choice is to murder the baby growing inside you, I don't care if you have sanitary conditions to do it in. Now, one of the biggest tools in the devil's toolbox, namely Planned Parenthood, is planning on spending $200 million during the midterm elections to make sure that they're not defunded, to make sure that they're not put out of business, to make sure that the baby murder mill can keep churning on. Because this is what we've become in this age. Ghouls and monsters willing to snuff out life growing inside us or turn a blind eye to those who would rob adolescents of their innocence. And these same ghouls and monsters, these same vile demons, find it completely acceptable to pontificate, to get on their soapboxes and lecture us about morality and morals. How dare you? But see, we're too dumb to see them for what they are. This is like the devil coming to Jesus going, "Well, it's written. Why don't you just jump?" Look, we need to stop being pearl clutchers and actually strap on some armor and go do some fighting. Because I'm getting bombarded with emails now. Maybe he wasn't the best choice. Given the amount of protests, given the amount of vitriol against this man, I think at this juncture he was the perfect choice for the next Supreme Court justice. I am not one to wish ill on any individual, but if the good Lord saw it fit to arrange a tea time between Ruth Bader Ginsburg and John McCain, I would not shed many a tear. But the idea that people who scream about wanting the ability to murder babies at will in sanitary conditions and free of charge, people who turn a blind eye and defend child molesters because they believe in global warming, the idea that we would somehow feel embarrassed that they're attempting to pontificate to us. Nay, nay, dear sir, nay, nay. It's amazing. They're just look, open homosexuals like Anderson Cooper and that mulatto fellow on MSNBC, whatever his name is, not very bright. They're trying to moralize about something that Donald Trump did 25 years ago and asking normal, decent folk how dare they can vote for him. Really? again, often, over the last couple of years, I've asked you to, in your minds, make this juxtaposition, make this comparison. Because you know what? No matter how much sound and fury they put up, Kavanaugh's going to get confirmed. So he is going to be the next Supreme Court justice. And like I said, Lord willing, Ruth Bader Ginsburg will soon have a date with John McCain over coffee. And so that'll make it three. And if precedent is anything, then we're likely going to have another constitutionalist. And if you thought they lost their minds over this one, the next one is just going to, I mean, they'll just set themselves on fire on the courthouse steps. That's the only thing they have left. It's just setting themselves on fire. So bring marshmallows. But look, in order for you to understand that what's happening is a net positive for good, moral, and just people, just witness how apoplectic the other side has gotten. Complete breakdown, utter chaos, just insanity ensuing. And again, we come back to the juxtaposition. Now, who do you think would be getting confirmed this week had the other side won? Who do you think would have gotten confirmed in Gorsuch's seat had the other side won? Exactly. By now, there would likely be talk of silencing those big old meanies in religion, you know, the churches, because talking about sin makes people feel bad. So, you know, it's freedom of speech, but there has to be consequence. Consequence should be prison. Because if you tell me to stop sinning, that makes me feel bad and you should go to jail for it. Yeah. So, Kavanaugh's young enough to ensure that, barring any unforeseen circumstances, he'll be there for quite a few years. And yes, he is a Catholic. But given everything I've read about his decisions, he is a staunch supporter of religious liberty. You know, I'm not looking for anyone to stack the deck in our favor. I'm just looking for an even playing field. We're never going to get even playing field, even if there's another Supreme Court nominee in 6 months. Because the mainstream media is nonstop rabid against what we would consider or classify as normal. Anything conservative, anything moral, anything Christian is anathema to them. And these are the same people trying to pontificate to middle America and moralize and just hypocritically be such utter fools that they've become a mockery. People laugh at them. So, yes, looks like Justice Kavanaugh will be confirmed, and he will be our next Supreme Court judge. And that is a good thing. And that is a direct byproduct of this current administration having won the election. Just thought I'd mention it. Now, in case you thought we were all safe and everything was honky-dory, Russia nuclear bombers intercepted near Alaska. Say what? Yep, that just happened. This story was published today, September the 6th, at 1:30 in the p.m. And it says this. Two Russian nuclear-capable bombers were intercepted by American F-22 jets near Alaska on Saturday. This was revealed to us by the North American Aerospace Defense Command. And they disclosed this. They released a press statement. Now, the bombers were detected flying near the Aleutian Islands, said Michael Kucharek, spokesman for the North, for NORAD. Let's just call it NORAD. Everybody knows what NORAD is. If you don't, it's the Northern Command and North American Aerospace Defense Command. Two Alaskan-based NORAD F-22 fighters intercepted and visually identified two TU-95 Bear long-range bomber aircraft flying in the Alaskan sky. Defense Identification Zone, south of the Aleutian Islands, he told the Free Beacon. Kucharek declined to specify the distance the bombers flew from the west coast of Alaska to protect operational security. However, the two Russian TU-95 bomber aircrafts were intercepted and monitored by the F-22s until the bombers left the ADIZ along the Aleutian Island chain, heading west, he said. At no time did the Russian bombers enter Canadian or United States sovereign airspace. A defense official said the Russian bombers were supported by at least one II-78 Midas refueling tanker jet, an indication the bombers traveled a long distance and required mid-flight refueling. No other details of the incident were disclosed. However, defense officials said the latest Russian bomber incursion coincided with large-scale military exercises now underway in the Russian Far East called Vostok 18 and were likely part of the exercises that have been underway since late August. One official speculated that the bombers were practicing cruise missile strikes on U.S. missile defenses in Alaska. Are we hearing this? Not a safe world. But apparently, in this country, we don't care. As long as we can impeach Trump, the Russians can attack. We don't care. Nobody asks impeach him for what? Because there has been nothing impeachable that this man has done. Some shady things before he was president, sure. Some unsavory things, most definitively. Yes, he came short of killing a woman's husband just to get with her, i.e. David. So, perspective. But the world is not a safe place. The bombers are capable of carrying the nuclear-tipped KH-55 long-range cruise missiles that have a maximum range of up to 1,841 miles. The intercept took place near the large phased array radar system called Cobra Dane that monitors Russian missile launches and aircraft flights. The radar is located at Irisok Air Station on remote Shimya Island, one of the Aleutians located 1,455 miles west of Anchorage. Cobra Dane would be one of the first targets of a Russian air-launched cruise missile strike in the early stages of a conflict. The bombers also were within cruise missile firing range of the U.S. Missile Defense Base at Fort Greely, Alaska, where long-range ground-based interceptors are deployed as part of strategic missile defenses. A third possible target for the bombers is the Clear Air Force Station in central Alaska that is home to the AN-FPS-123 upgraded early warning used to detect submarine-launched ballistic missiles. So these two nuclear bombers weren't just out for a stroll. From where they were at, they could have hit a lot of things that would have put a hitch in our giddy up, as it were. It was the second time Russian bombers flew close to Alaska this year. In May, two Bear H bombers were intercepted off the coast of Alaska by two F-22s. Until that incident, the last time bombers buzzed the air defense zone near Alaska was April 17th. Russia's defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, said in Moscow on Tuesday that the active phase of Vostok 18 will kick off at 9 proving grounds and in the Sea of Japan and Bering and Okhotsk Seas beginning September 11th. Why would they pick a date like September 11th? Because you have to understand, nothing is done by accident by the Russians. So the fact that they picked September 11th as the date they would begin these military drills is, it just stands out to me. Now, preparations for Vostok 18 included comprehensive snap checks of the Central and Eastern Military District, the Northern Fleet, the Airborne Troops, and long-range and military transport aircraft, Shoigu stated. The exercises are designed to test operations at an unfamiliar ground and the performance of combat training. Aircraft have been flying maximum range sorties with refueling in flight and practicing landings at tactical airfields, he said. So basically what he's saying is just exercise. I'm sorry, it's just the exercise. Now, another thing that is worthy of note is that these exercises are said to be the largest in the history of the Russian Federation. Taking part in it will be 300,000 troops, more than 1,000 planes, helicopters, and drones, up to 80 combat and logistics ships, and up to 36,000 tanks, armored personnel carriers, and other vehicles. So let's play war, basically, is what they're saying. Now, a senior fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council wrapped it all up with the following assertion. Clearly, Russia is rehearsing a large-scale war. This little nugget, and juxtapose it with what we just discovered yesterday, namely the fact that the English, the United Kingdom, is ramping up their aggression on the Russians. They say they have identified two Russian GRU officers who poisoned that father-daughter team in London. So you have, on the one hand, the Russians practicing for a large-scale war. You have, on the other hand, the English trying to get the rest of NATO to impose even more sanctions on the Russians. Because if the globalists couldn't get Donald Trump to peck a war with Putin, they'll have to peck a war with Putin themselves. And at this juncture, the Russians are simply signaling that they're not to be trifled with. Something that just came across is the fact that Moscow warned the U.S. that a pending attack in Syria or in a Syrian area has active U.S. troops there. So this could turn ugly very quickly and on a dime. And I wonder what the next pivot of the left will be. What will be their next boogeyman? What will be their next contrived story once we're at war with Russia? Who done it then? Because one thing that our side fails to understand is that there is absolutely no civility on the other side. They don't care what they say, who they say it about, because to them, winning is everything. And as long as they think they're winning, they're advantaged to the utmost. So take everything you hear with a grain of salt, because the left is becoming more and more unhinged with each passing day. I just heard Gino pop back on, so I will take this time to say thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Hopefully, next week I will be at O'Hare Airport, so I will not be with you. But the week after, I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. Until then, may God bless you, may God keep you, and Gino, it's all yours.
Well, I'm reminded, Mike, by the scripture, perilous times will come in the last days, and it's very sobering that you can see they definitely are strategizing for some form of war games. And what's the target? Well, about 6 months ago, Russia had a military conference. Putin was speaking, and they did an animation of 10 warheads hitting Florida. And so if anyone has a doubt about their intentions, Google the animation of the nuclear attack on Florida that was shown at the Russian meeting. Was like a state, you know, a meeting of the state military type meeting. And, you know, I'd urge you to go to handyhelp.com and get the Wake Up America DVD and blow a trumpet while we can, because there is no doubt when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction will come. And America definitely's days could very well be numbered, you know. And if there's not repentance, we don't have a turning back to Christ and morality and decency, yeah, trouble could be not far away. So God bless you all so much for listening. As Mike said, he won't be on next week, but this show will go on Monday on the YouTube channel. And please get the word out, you know. Try to let your friends, church folks, and others know about the meeting or the radio show. And also in October, we will have a statewide meeting with Mike in Indiana. And in November, we will have one in Michigan. And we're going to try to have one state-type meeting a month in the coming months across the country. So getting the folks together again and blowing a trumpet and reminding them that peace is not going to be permanent. So God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast.